Looking at that, one of the verses up there that they were singing, it said, well, why should I gain from his reward? I do not have an answer. And I think the most amazing thing is that we gain from what Jesus went through. You know, because he was willing to trade who he was and what he had, we're able to enter in now to who we are in him and what we have from him. And if we can see that, I believe that's what Paul saw when he said, to live is Christ, but to die is gain, because he knew he was gaining not just a place called heaven, but he was gaining the one who sits in heaven. And I think that was his perspective.
Wow.
I think sometimes we get focused on the place and not the person. Absolutely. Absolutely wouldn't be. Because we know what the place is called where he's not. Absolutely. But do you tend to focus more on trying to get to heaven than focus on the relationship with God? Let me move this. Like, do you know that most of the time you hear it preached, that we preach like, got to get to heaven. But let me ask you something. Do you know God? Do you connect with God right here on earth? Are you connecting with him in your day-to-day lives? Are you experiencing the abundant life that he wanted to give you? You know, I look at this and I look at scripture. As I begin to read scripture, I look at things and it said this, that Jesus said, I came to give you life and that much more abundantly. How many people know when you got born again, you got life? I mean, people said, even the days look bright. I heard this awesome guy's testimony. He said, when I got born again, I went outside and the colors on the grass and the sky, everything looked like it was shining like it never did before. Someone else told me, like, when I got born again, it's like something inside. I knew that I was different. I knew that I, and they say it like this. You ever heard this said before? I know that I know that I know. They had some confidence now, but their confidence was found in God. And those are like some of the testimonies and stories. Well, last week we talked about being born again. We talked about God making you a brand new house, didn't we? Like, and we used examples of it. But I want to go a little bit in depth on this thing called Holy Ghost and fire. Because John said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me whose sandal straps, or I like to say tennis shoes, I can't even put on and lace. He shall come and baptize you with Holy Ghost and fire. Now, a lot of times we read over that and we're just like, okay, what in the world is John talking about? Because he said Jesus is coming. And when Jesus gets here and he starts his ministry and stuff, he's going to be doing some baptisms. And he's going to baptize you in the Holy Ghost and fire. We sometimes gloss over that part because it's like, what in the world is John talking about? So, and this is part one because there's two parts to it. Part one is Holy Ghost. But it didn't just say Holy Ghost, it says and fire. So we're going to look at all that. But I want to just put this term out here right now. The term baptizo is the Greek term for baptism. It means to make whelm, to engulf, to immerse, to flow and heap up abundantly. It means to be fully engulfed. Like the scripture says, if any man is in Christ, do you know what that looks like? That means that you're engulfed in him. Let me explain it like this. When my wife got pregnant, my son was in her belly. Like, there was no doubt about it. Every once in a while, I could see him kick. And you know what? She knew he was kicking before I did. She said, he moved. And I said, I don't see anything. And she's like, he moved. I felt it again. Put your hand here. And I put my hand there for like 5 minutes. I don't feel nothing. But as time went on and he began to grow in her womb, I found out that, guess what? He is alive in there and he's kicking and moving and squirming and everything else. But the term baptism means to be engulfed. In that moment, Jackson, my son, was engulfed in his mother. His mom engulfed him. Not only does it mean that, he was fully immersed underneath. He was inside, and guess what? He was in water. And he was there. And I was like, wow. I heard it said like this. It's kind of cool. When you're born, first time, the first phase of life is that you're born. You know, you're in your mother's womb. That's part one. Part two, you come out of your mom's womb. And you're in the earth. And somebody said, this is the womb of God. And part three is when you come out of the womb of God, enter into eternity, the real world, the real reality. Does that make sense? So let's pray real quick, because we're going on a journey. So Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you because your word is true. And I thank you, God, for the spirit of wisdom and revelation, for understanding, and our eyes becoming open, and our hearts are open to see what you're saying, hear what you're saying, and activating you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Greek word for baptism is baptizo. And this is the scripture that we're going to be looking at right here, Matthew 3:11. John is talking to Jesus. John's talking, and he's talking to the crowd. This is before Jesus came and got baptized by him. And he said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So in your first I had the, if did everyone get one of these? These are sermon notes. This is part one, and on the back's part two. So we're going to be on the first part, just so everyone knows. So we're all on page. And he says, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the next scripture says, and his winnowing fork is in his hand, and he's going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And we automatically go, he's talking about judgment. That's what we automatically think. He's talking about judgment. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus said, I come and I judge no one, but even if I judge, my judgment is true. It's my Father who judges. That's what Jesus said. So he's not talking about judgment here. And John's baptism is the baptism of repentance. Like John's baptism, he baptized people with water. And what he did was people would come to him because he said, I'm here to prepare the way for Jesus to come. So come to me. And he would baptize them so they could receive the Messiah, being Jesus. And basically repentance, like I always say, just means a new way of thinking. It's changing the way you think. That prepared you to receive Jesus. Before John went preaching, you couldn't receive Jesus. Did you know that? In scripture, God's word said, I'm going to send Elijah before you, before the coming of my son. And remember, and the spirit of Elijah was on him, on John the Baptist. And they asked him, and if you look in the Aramaic, it says Isaiah, they said, has Isaiah come? And Jesus said, truly, Isaiah has come, for John was preaching in the wilderness. So this is how we know this is true. Jesus' baptism with water, belief in him in a new way of being, born again. Do you know you don't baptize people until they actually confess with their mouth and believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead? A couple weeks ago, we did that, didn't we? We had balloons up, we had the pool there, and we baptized people because of their confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Let me put it like this. Because they were born again. Does that make sense? Because when you're born again, that's what you do. You want to follow Jesus. So what is this baptism with the Holy Spirit? It's the indwelling of the Holy Ghost and fire. And it comes with fire. How many people know our God is an all-consuming? Huh, I wonder, is that what John was talking about? Because God is an all-consuming fire. We'll talk about the fire next week. This week we're just going to be talking about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. I want to look at something real quick. Jesus, when he got baptized by John and he received the Spirit, you remember he came over as a form of a dove and laid on him, rested on him? Jesus did not lose his Spirit. I want us all to understand that. Jesus' Spirit didn't go away and the Holy Spirit was just his Spirit in that moment. Jesus still had his Spirit. This is very important to understand this. He submitted his full being, spirit, soul, and body, to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Matthew 4:1 says, after Jesus' baptism, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. It was only after Jesus received the Holy Spirit was he led by the Spirit. Before he received the Holy Ghost, he was walking out the law as a man submitted to God, following the word of God, the Torah, the law. And he walked it out perfectly, that the promise in Deuteronomy chapter 28 came on him, where it says, in heaven will open up, heaven opened. God spoke and said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased of. God seals him. The Holy Spirit comes on him. And then from that moment, he was not fulfilling the law anymore. It was done. He started to fulfill every word that the prophets spoke and prophesied about him. Because Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it, complete it. So Jesus didn't lose his Spirit. He still had his Spirit, but he submitted himself, the full being that he was, to the Holy Ghost in the direction of the Spirit of God. Do you guys remember last week we talked about the Spirit of Jesus? Like it says he was fully God and fully man, or truly God and truly man. How? His Spirit was fully God. And because his Spirit was fully God, he's God. But he had to have a soul and a body. So he was forever changed. In heaven, Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. How many people know he still has a body? He's not the same as he was before. He chose to be forever changed for us so that we can be forever changed for him. So he has the Spirit of Jesus, and when we get born again, we get a brand new spirit. We become brand new. God does not recycle. I said before, he doesn't recycle this thing, your old human spirit. God doesn't recycle that. He doesn't hook you up to a jump starter car and say, boom, you're good to go now. That's not what happened. God doesn't take the cable and hook you up to himself and say, now you have power. That's not true. Scripture says if any man's in Christ, he hooks the cable up to and gives him a jump start. No, it says you are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So gain understanding of that. Your spirit became new. You became a spirit, a new spirit. The Father created us through Jesus by the working and power of the Holy Ghost. How do I know that's true? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus. In John chapter 3, he said, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. The wind blows, and you do not know the direction it's coming from. So are the same of them that are born from spirit. Do you understand that when you asked Jesus to come in your heart, when you experienced him like that, you experienced being born again? Like, you know for a fact. Like, we say we know that we know. But let me explain this. When you got born again, this was a work done by the Holy Ghost. How do I know it's true? Jesus said so. And John 3:6, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. And that picture looks a little bit weird, right? Like, what's going on here? I'm in Christ. Because if any man's in Christ, you're a new creation. Do you know in Scripture it does say, if you're neither hot nor cold, I'll spew you out, right? Remember that Scripture? Well, you can't spew something out that isn't inside you. Make sense? So let me explain a little bit different for a moment. So I got to come down. I want you to go on an adventure and a trip with you guys for a moment. I want you just to think with me for a moment. Think about Jesus. Now think about Jesus being a beautiful piece of property. Beautiful piece of property. Like it's the most gorgeous piece of property ever. He is. And on this property, the days are always sunny. There's no more bad days. And being in that property and being on that property and living from that property means you have all the resources from that property. You agree with that? Like if I owned a big farm and I was a farmer, how many people know I'm going to eat some of the crops I raise? Absolutely. Probably have me some livestock and everything else. Probably, if it's big enough, I'll probably outsource some of it. But imagine that for a moment, and that being Jesus. Now imagine a person who worked the land. He worked on the field, and he's a construction worker. He wears many hats. He's the maintenance man. He's a construction worker. He's the farmer. He's the one who begins to move things in it. And he had this idea. I want to build a new house on that property. But there's only one way that that happens. You have to be in Christ. Because before you're in Christ, you can't go on that property. How many people know that that property has to, before you can enter that place, it has to be bought, right? Like no one builds on someone else's land and say that's their land. If you did that, you're probably building someone else's house. But for a fact, we know this is true. That if we buy property that we can build on it and we can live there, and someone would say, I own the property. Well, in Christ, when you're in him, he wants to make you a brand new house. See if it's going to work. Boom, the house. Ta-da! God says, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. He didn't take your old house and make it new. He got rid of the old house and created out of Jesus a brand new house. How many people know that the house where it's built on is a foundation right there? The land. The scripture said he is the foundation. He is the chief cornerstone. So this land right here represents Jesus. And the whole scene of the land represents Jesus. And that property is on the house in Jesus because you're in Christ. So it's a brand new house that is on a brand new piece of property. And the work, the person who did all the work, was this guy right here, known as the Holy Ghost, the construction worker. That's the only way it got done. Which leads me to this. This represents you being a new spirit. What am I saying here? This is according to scripture, not according to tap. This is in the fill in the blank time. The builder is not the house, and the house is not the builder. We get those two things confused very often. Do you know that? Like, and I made an example. Like, Bruce here, he builds trucks. And it'd look very foolish if I take Bruce's truck that he built and I start talking to the truck like it's Bruce. I'm like, hi, Bruce, I got Bruce. And I go over here and I say, have you met Bruce? And then I show him the truck and I'm like, talk to Bruce. That'd look pretty weird, wouldn't it? That'd look really weird. We need to understand something, that the builder's not the house and the house isn't the builder. If we don't understand that, we'll be living in a place of, confusion. And so when people say things, it would be very hurtful because we're living in a place of not understanding and we'll be confused. If you turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, the 14th verse and the 17th verse, this picks up in a story where this evangelist, he was an apostle, his name was Philip. This is after the day of Pentecost came. You know, they're in the upper room, they're praying to receive the Holy Ghost. Like a sound of a mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came in. Let me just stop before we go there. When were the disciples born again? said when you said when they received the Holy Spirit, you said when Jesus breathed on them. Do you know you can't get born again until Jesus had to rise from the grave? Paul said, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God has, you shall be, which we know is born again. So when were they born again? Yeah. When Jesus rose. Because they, and honestly, Thomas, the reason why I like Thomas is because he's so real. He's just like, I don't care what anyone's saying until I put my finger in his side and I feel the prints in his hand, I won't believe. Jesus comes through the door. He says, peace. And he says, Thomas, come here. Thrust your finger in my side and put your finger in my palms. And do not be doubting anymore. Thomas believed then, didn't he? How many people know they were born again? Because you couldn't be born again until Jesus rose from the grave. So what happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? What in the world happened? Jesus made a promise to them. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send someone to you. He's going to be known as the Comforter. And he says this. He says that, and he, the Spirit of Truth, also known as the Spirit of Truth, he dwells with you and shall be in you. That's according to Scripture. So we're going to pick up here, right? And Acts 8, 14 and 17, it says, the apostles in Jerusalem heard the people of Samaria accepted the word of God. Now, let's just stop right there. What did they accept? The word of God. What was Philip preaching down in Samaria? He was preaching the gospel. He was preaching that Jesus is the way unto God. And they accepted the word of God. And Peter and John and the people, so they sent Peter and John to the people in Samaria. When Peter and John arrived, they prayed for the Samaritan believers. Stop right there. They prayed for the who? Believers in what? Oh. So they were saved, weren't they? Yeah. According to Scripture, they're saved. Because no man calls himself a believer in Jesus, nor do they call people believers who don't believe in Jesus. So it says, to receive the Holy Spirit. These people had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but the Holy Spirit had not yet come down on any of them. This is why Peter and John prayed. When the two apostles laid their hands on the people, they received the Holy Spirit. Stop right there. What in the world is going on here? Because in my Christian life, that's not what people taught me. What's going on in this scripture? The apostles heard the people accepted the word of God. What word of God? About Jesus. The people believed. They even got baptized, signifying a new way. See, in the Middle East, when you get baptized, it's real. That's an open confession and declaration. Even till today, if I found some Muslims and they begin to receive Jesus, no one would do a thing to them because they would say it's not real. But the minute we go into the public square, I step into some water, and I say, do you confess the Lord Jesus and believe? And I baptize them? We're going to get shot. Because it's not real until then, over in the Middle East. So their baptism signified what? A confession of faith in Jesus. What does Scripture say? We have the word of faith to us. It's nigh to you. That if you confess the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. For it's out of the confession with the mouth salvation is made, and from the heart which one believes. So what in the world is going on? Then these two disciples, the apostles came. They pray for them. The Holy Spirit comes on them. And when the apostles laid their hands, the people received the Holy Spirit. And I'm thinking in my head, what in the world is this? What happened? Because growing up, they always told me, you know, believe in Jesus and then do good and try to love God with everything you are. You ever heard that? Love God with everything you are. By the way, get a biblical worldview. And then learn a lot of the stories and find moral value in them and the spiritual truth in them. And then live up to that. Is that familiar to anyone? How many people is that familiar to? Just being honest. So I was like, God, that's weird. What in the world's happening? So then again, there's this guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. And I'm like, I'm reading in the book of Acts, because the book of Acts is actually what happened after Jesus, after they received the Holy Spirit and Jesus went up. So I started reading in the book of Acts and I was like, God, what in the world is going on here? And it says, and it came to pass when Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, named to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples. And he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? Pause. What kind of question is that? What kind of question is Paul asking? Let's just play a game real quick. If I went up to someone, I said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? How many people would get offended by that? How many people would openly get offended? There's a man by the name of D.L. Moody. Anybody know him? Moody had these big crusades. You can look it up. His history is even written in his bibliography. He had these grand crusades. And Moody would stutter, too. So he'd be, you know, I think of like Porky Pig. That's all, folks. But Moody had a stutter. And he would do these crusades, and they would be packed full of people, but people were not getting born again. Moody's like, I know all the information. I'm born again. And so these ladies came up to D.L. Moody. Somebody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. These ladies came up to D.L. Moody. They said, Mr. Moody. He's like, yeah. He's like, we're glad that you're doing these big crusades. They looked at Moody. They said, but you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Moody got mad. Moody got moody. He did. And he kind of was. How many people would be offended at that? What are you talking about? I was raised in a Christian church. I'm born again. You can't tell me I'm not saved. I'm preaching to a massive crowd of people. And how dare you come to me and say, you need the baptism of the, who are you? This is a true story. And so these women, so Moody got offended. He went home and he started thinking about it. And you know, those words begin to haunt him. He found those ladies in a prayer meeting. Moody humbled himself. He said, you know what? I don't know it all. I don't care about my degree. I don't care how much I studied. And I don't care about all the people I talked to. I don't know it all. And he humbled himself as a child. And he said, what is this thing that you guys keep telling me about? And they prayed for Moody. They said, Lord. And Moody said, okay, I'm going to ask the Father like it says in Scripture. And we'll go over that. And he got prayer for and he left the meeting. He started walking home. As Moody began to walk home, he felt, remember how we talked about your spiritual senses and your physical senses? Moody got overwhelmed by God, and he said it came upon him so heavy he almost fell over. And he began to lean on a light pole, and he said, Lord, if you don't stay your hand, I'm going to die. What happened to D.L. Moody? Moody later on began to tell people it was called the baptism of the Holy Spirit because Scripture says it had not fell down upon any of them yet. And after that, Moody started preaching to people and doing crusades, and people started getting born again. In your bulletin, it says this. Jesus said, I want you to go away into Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. This is the promise that Jesus was talking about. So then we have Paul, same thing in scripture, asking a group of disciples, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? It says this. We're picking up in the third verse. The second verse. He said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not such as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, until what then were you baptized? And they said, until John's baptism should come after him, that is Christ Jesus. And then Paul begins to make another statement here. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, a new way of thinking, saying unto the people they should believe on him which they heard. This they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, what happened here? The people, it was about 12 men. Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They're like, dude, we don't know what you're talking about. And by the way, you're kind of offending me. And he's just like, then what were you baptized in? He's like, John's baptism, a new way of thinking. And then Paul told them about Jesus. John baptized with repentance, talking about you should believe in Jesus. And so what does Paul do next? They heard what Paul has said. They were baptized. They believed. Because how do you know they believed? They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You just don't get baptized into something that you don't believe in, right? I wouldn't. Unless I'm going swimming, then I'm going deep in. So all of a sudden, and Paul laid hands upon them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke in other tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. Let me stop right here for one moment. I have to say this. This message is not about tongues. If you're feeling like it's about tongues, rest. We're just simply looking at what in the world is going on with the New Testament church. And what is this baptism of the Holy Ghost? But it said that when it came upon them, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. And it was about 12 men. Has anyone read this before? Has this confused anyone before? Like, what in the world is actually happening in Scripture? What's going on? Because on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were already born again believers. They were waiting. They were believing what Jesus said and waiting. And they probably were praying something like this, Father, in the name of Jesus, send the promise. Send the Holy Spirit. You said that you would send him in Jesus' name. How do I know it's true? Jesus told his disciples something when he walked with them on earth. In Luke 11:13, he said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, you might be like, well, hold on a second, Jesus. Wait one moment, Jesus. And then in John 14:26, he said something again. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. But what is Jesus saying? You ask the Father in my name for the Holy Spirit. What in the world? How many people believe when you got born again, you received the Holy Spirit? Who all believes that? Raise your hand. Good. What's going on in Scripture? In the day of Pentecost, that happened. But then there was another time. His name was Cornelius. He was like a lieutenant, a general of Rome. And The first one was the eunuch. The second, Cornelius, was an Italian. And he had a vision of an angel coming to him. And the angel said, Cornelius, send for Peter of Joppa. And because you're Because the way you have treated the Jewish people and you led righteously has came up before the Lord as a memorial. Send for Peter of Joppa. Because Cornelius feared God. Peter comes to him. That's when Peter has that vision of the food coming down. Nothing's unclean, that's clean. You know, like if God cleans it, it's clean, so eat. So Peter goes and finds and goes to them. Cornelius has his whole family around. Peter preaches the gospel instantly. As he preached the gospel, the Holy Spirit fell upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. That's what scripture says, not tap. Scripture says it. What in the world is going on, Jesus? This is the first question. So I'm like, God, what in the world? Because getting born again, a preacher usually preaches about Jesus, tells you to come down and make a confession of faith, and sends me on my way, right? What in the world is going on? Anybody might say, going to a good Bible teaching church, right? That's about it. That's about right. If I do remember the Billy Graham Crusades. What in the world's going on in Scripture? I think the answer is found in John 14, 20 through 23. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He says, at that day you shall know that I am my Father and that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. And he has my commandments and keeps them. He it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I will love him and will reveal myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said unto him, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our abode with him. What? What in the world? I like to ask God, when I'm reading scripture, I like to ask God a question. Before I go to a commentary or anything, I like to just ask, God, what in the world are you talking about? Because how do many of you guys know the person that can reveal scripture the best is the Holy Spirit? Amen? So I'm asking him, what are you talking about here? He says, I'm going to tell you that I'm in my Father and that you are in me. And if you keep my word, what was Jesus' word? That you should believe on the one whom the Father sent. Being, you should believe that I am the way, the truth, and the life. You should believe that I am the Son of God. It's to your benefit. It's for your reward. That's what Jesus was saying. And if you keep my word, me and my Father will come and make our abode. What in the world does abode mean? I love it. Live in and yes. It also means, yes, you said stay in. But the Greek word for it is monai. It looks like money, really weird, right? Me and my Father will come and make our money with you. Kind of laughed about it. I was like, wow, God. But it does mean live in and indwell. Job said something when he was going through his trial. He said, can anything clean come out of something that is unclean? And he said, no, it cannot. So I'm like, God, okay. What are you talking about here? Because you said you're going to come make your abode with us and dwell us and make resident. What in the world? Let's go. Let's just look at a picture real quick. The builder desires to live in the new house. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. So for one moment with me, think about this builder. That builder, he works on the property. You agree with that? It doesn't mean he lives in the property. Did you know that? Just because a builder builds something doesn't mean he lives in it. Just as silly it would be for me to say, I got Bruce and I got your truck that you made. That'd be silly, wouldn't it? So what in the world happened in Scripture? It's like a mystery, and I like uncovering things. So the builder represents the Holy Spirit. And that represents us, the new house. In Jesus. We're on the property. We're in Christ. So what happened? The Holy Spirit, let's go back for a moment, both the builder and the new house. That means he works on the property. But it does not say he indwells the property. Does it? According to Scripture. Not according to TAP. The believers in Samaria were baptized. They were born again. They became a new spirit, a new house. But it nowhere said that the Spirit fell upon them and indwelled, did it? The believers praying on the day of Pentecost, they were born again. But why would Jesus tell them to wait for the promise of the Father? Now, there's something that's inconsistent with what I've been taught growing up and what the Bible actually says. And then I'm reading more about this, and I look at D.L. Moody, and Moody's not the only one that happened to. I believe the Mick. You guys remember Mick? Mick's story, his foot doctor, these women. You women, you guys, God gets a hold of women. We're in trouble, guys. These women came to Mick and told Mick, Mick, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Mick got offended. You can ask him. He said, I got mad. I was like, you don't know me. I was raised in Christian Alliance, right? And my dad served on the elder board. How dare you? What makes you think you can talk to me that way? Mick went home and he began to read. And he read in Scripture. And then he humbled himself. Because Scripture says, unless you humble yourself as a child, you will in no way enter into the kingdom of God. And we know, because the Scripture says, the kingdom is not food and what you drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what in the world? So Mick humbles himself. He's in front of his TV, I think, on his bed. Opens the Bible, and he says, Lord, if I'm missing something, I ask that you just forgive me for missing it, but I want it, and I give up everything I am to have what you said in your word. So Mick prays that. He says this, he felt God come upon him to a place that he never experienced before. He said he began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Now that sounds a little weird, doesn't it? What in the world happened? Ryan, you can come up. Like, what in the world happened here? Because we know if a builder works on a property, just reason with me. Reason with me for one moment. We know for a fact that if a builder works on a property, it doesn't mean he lives in it. How do I know? I worked on someone else's house, and it ain't my house. And let me tell you, I wish it was. It was a big thing, man. So it was like a mansion. I was like, golly. East end, other end, I'm like, golly. But it didn't mean I lived in his house. So the builder desires you to invite him in to your new home. And he wants to do something in your new home. He wants to begin to fill your new home. He wants to fill your new home up with all the things of God. This is where Scripture was talking about, and he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. It was talking about the Spirit of God wants to indwell you. Like, just as you have a spirit, soul, and a body, and they all make up you, but they're distinctly different. Like if I took my skin right now and cut my arm off, you would see bone, marrow, and you would see flesh, right? It all makes up Tap's arm, but it's different, doesn't it? You agree with that? It's different. If the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, yet they're different, because Scripture says so. They're distinctly different, but they make up a whole, the Godhead.